Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley on the road with Bill, what was it? Bill Kuralt? I don't remember. Bill Curtis. Charles Kuralt. That was it. On the road with Charles Kuralt. And I could be wrong because I've been wrong before. Anyway, can I just mention something? Here's something. This is a quick rant. So, you know, the 2025 declassification files of JFK, you know, are going down. They're being analyzed as we speak, you know, here in March. Maybe it was late February too, but certainly March of 2025. And because of that, I'm kind of brushing up on a topic. And I come across the topic. This is a broader subject than just JFK. As you know, I look at patterns. And it's a really good podcast. You can tell they're being very, very serious about trying to unravel the situation. And let me tell you real quick just what one is so you can look, because I do want to give them some credit. Oh, it's called, oh man, give me just a second. It's on my Spotify. Chilluminati. And the first part before they go into their topics is hilarious. They're hilarious. Anyway, suppose this guy's covered, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 different episodes of JFK, the main guy, and he's got his crew, you know. It's an ensemble cast. But let me tell you something that just irritates me with investigation and analysis. It's when you go, oh, that makes a lot more sense. That doesn't mean that it's true. That the most likely is not the true. It's not the truth. In fact, any good crime involves throwing some smoke screens up so that you hope and think that them doing it is less likely, i.e. not wearing the right size of shoes, i.e. making it look like a burglary, not a murder. The most basic and obvious of how to get away with murder is to make it seem like something else is more likely. In this case, it's something to the effect of, well, I wonder why Lee Harvey Oswald, and I'm having too much of a sarcastic tone there. I do think they're being very earnest, and I like what I've heard so far. First day I've ever listened to the Chilluminati podcast at all. So I probably am being not generous enough with that tone, but I'm going to keep it anyway because it's fun. The thing is that right after Oswald said, you know, in custody, I didn't kill anybody, I'm just a patsy. What's that about? And the, I didn't kill anybody, it's, I'm just a patsy. And I do know a little bit about the JFK stuff. I've read books, but it's not always at the tip of my brain. That's not the point here. I'm not even going to try to, you know, I don't think, you know, podcast goes where it goes. But I don't think I'm going to then try to pull different facts that counter this. It's just the point of them saying, okay, why'd he say, I'm just a patsy? And it could have been that he knew about the conspiracy. He was a part of it. He just didn't think that he'd get, you know, caught so easily. And it seemed to him by the time he was in custody that that was the plan for him to get caught. So that's one, right? That, okay, I'm just a patsy. I know there's a bigger conspiracy. I'm a part of the bigger conspiracy. But the bigger conspiracy is the real truth of the matter. I wasn't even supposed to get caught. I'm ready to talk about the whole conspiracy. Right? The second one is, as they talk about, maybe he just did it and it's a smoke screen. The third one, though, is that he tried to do it. I mean, there could be 4th, 5th, and 6th, but of the ones they're discussing, and I'm going to bring up, and for the point, that he was trying to shoot the president, but at least one shot missed. Another shot, he knew, that's not my bullet. That's not my bullet. So he was the intended sole gunman. He was not MK Ultra. He was in his right mind, he did intend to kill the president. And, but yet when he's up in the book school depository,
he didn't kill the president, by the way.
He didn't shoot all the shots.
Let's at least say this.
But enough with my aside. He's up in the book school depository. He's of right mind, or in his own mind, rather, right? He knows of what he's thinking. And then he goes to shoot. He shoots, and then he goes, somehow realizes that was not me. And or that was too many shots. He would know if he didn't take the requisite total number of shots. And so now he's saying, oh, I must be just a patsy. And the podcast here says, see, that makes the most sense to me. It doesn't matter if it makes the most sense, right? Because then you're just saying that's the most likely scenario. In any given case, and they do this when they end up with cold cases too, they too quickly fall to, that's probably what happened, and then we drop all other leads. And then after we drop all other leads based on the likelihood, like the silly-ass idea, it's not that it's not based in truth, it's just that you can't just stick to that in exception of all other possibilities. Oh, well, it's a very vicious crime, so it must have been personal. Well, yeah, but there's some small percentage of people who, once they go off, personal or not, it gets pretty insane. You know, why did he kill like that? It must have been personal. Because he's an insane person who's incredibly violent. Well, there must have been a personal connection. Why do you say that? And it's okay to start there, but not to end there once things go cold. Then you have to go, well, yeah, that's the most likely, but it's not the definite thing that happened. Like, if I can't find my keys, the most likely thing is that I misplaced them. But at some point, do I go, I may not have misplaced them. And I start looking around for other things, and I realize, wait a second, where's my wallet? For instance, or wait a second, something is misplaced. I know I never put it there. Or I say, wait a second, this area is out of order. The books are off the shelf. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. So if this area is out of order, did someone break into my place and take my keys? And now I gotta worry about whether they're gonna come get my car later? And maybe the only reason they didn't do it is because I came back and they didn't have time to get into the garage and figure all that out. Because my car's in the garage. So are they gonna try that now? So that's the type of thing. Yes, it's important to start with the most likely, but not at all to exclusively to the other sensible, reasonable, and while not likely, at least possible, and, well, plausible. You know, the third through fifth most plausible things are still very, very important to consider. And really, you should be doing parallel strings. So I'm not saying that this, what I said was a Chilluminati, is going to go wrong, but that's the type of fork you take, especially when you then make it the reason you start to close off further investigation. And some people have this sense of, well, I don't want to go extreme with everybody else. And so they had this kind of reflexive, I'm comprehensive and I look. But then on the other hand, they also close down and find the, you know, I don't know, in their head, the medium story. Like, well, you know, there could have been a halfway and he wasn't part of a big conspiracy. Or there could have been a halfway and he wasn't part of MKUltra. I'm not saying to the likelihood or truthhood of either of those. I'm just saying as examples of how some analysts will tend to look at things. They do look at things, and that helps satisfy that they didn't just close it off entirely. But then for some reason or another, they take this middle-of-the-road approach. And in so doing, they do it because, for instance, that just seems much more likely. That just seems like the truth to me. And in reality, they didn't really close out the rest of the stories. It's just that at some pivot point in their analysis, they tried to add likelihoods. Well, but if you multiply likelihoods, they're exponential, right? Like 80 times 80 times 80 times 80, it's going to seem, as you analyze, much more likely than 65 times 50 times 75 times 80. You do that math, and it's far different in the full circumstances. And that's fine that you do it. But where it really, really helps is when things are, when factors are very, very unlikely. Then the math can start to add up, and it makes better sense to exclude full scenarios. You know, in order for this to happen, this would have to happen, this would have to happen, this would have to happen. What are the likelihood there? But once you're saying you're working on, for the most part, the positive side of 50%, with some things that are just below 50%, it's really not the way to exclude things. And so, you know, when you say, well, you know, maybe he just said that because he was surprised and, you know, didn't think that all of his shots accounted for all of the shots. And therefore, it probably means he wasn't involved with a larger group. I get when you're understanding, when you're looking at individual factors, that you can go probably, but that does not finish your investigation. Never mind, that's kind of instinctual anyway, of course. And so when you go instinctual, but no real sense of the percentages, it gets you nowhere. All right, guys, that's it. I'm actually on my way. The reason I'm on the road with Charles Geralt and Tyson Harley is I'm going to go see what my podcast co-host Kim called Beekeeper 2. And I'm like, Beekeeper 2? That's awesome. I knew that they were going to do it. I didn't realize it was out. And she just actually means the other one that's by the producers of The Beekeeper. Like, basically, isn't it fun to watch? Go watch somebody who inherently needs their ass kicked actually get their ass kicked by Jason Statham? Yes, yes it is. By the producers of Beekeeper, starring Jason Statham, the same one who kicked the last ass that you love to see get kicked in The Beekeeper, the working man. So we'll see. We'll see whether or not it's any good or not, but it's the type of thing I like because as most of you get to my age, you might get to have family members who are next generation that are starting to, depending on, you know, their specific era or spot in that next generation, are starting to get that to that senility and, you know, can potentially be scammed or because they don't understand how dishonest the world is now versus how it was, and they like to try to believe in people, they get scammed. So hopefully, I love that movie, The Beekeeper, that this follow-up, I don't even know the plot, I just know it's called The Working Man, by the same people who brought you The Beekeeper, starring the same badass motherfucker. And so you're like, okay, they don't promote it that way unless it's the same idea. So, so we'll see. Speaking of which, have you ever seen oh my gosh, what is it called? The Tank or Tank, and it's about that guy in, say, a Houston or some city where they're like, bro, if you cut off the access to my business is going to die. My business is my future. It's my retirement. It's how I keep my house. Stop doing that shit. And then they go, we don't care. And he's like, I'm going to keep getting a hold of the business people. And I'm sorry, the city council and the like. I'm trying to make sure that my concerns are voiced and noted. And eventually he's like, it was either it was a part of his business or he just had this skill separately. He, in essence, made an armored vehicle and just went and fucked some shit up, knowing that probably at the end he might just kill himself. I think it's called Tank or something. Even if you don't see the movie, go check out that story. It's just the level of injustice and with people, you know, being bureaucratic. And by bureaucratic, I mean not looking at individual cases and at the individual harm that is happening and then trying to just lie and rely on process and delay and procedure and just, you know, ruining people's lives when it could have easily been avoided. That type of thing is what I mean by being bureaucratic. So anyway, that's that. So I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.